the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schunk.
The Huskies got 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sausage to score! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Yupa.
So flip it up to Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP.
Back down low. Here's a pass for Ferreira! And he scores! Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech!
And my heart is hit.
Save it for Missyak. Missyak. Grab her out. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! It's in the net! Extra attacker out there for Michigan Tech. Here comes Jackson. Jackson bringing it down. He'll shoot! Scores! Jake Jackson again with the goal! Ties the game up with 1:06 left to go in the third.
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schoen Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaliva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schoen, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Well, we are very excited to have the first Joe Schoen Hour of the 2018-19 Michigan Tech hockey season, and we are less than 2 weeks away from the start of that season. Welcome, Coach, and welcome back to the studio.
Great. Thanks, Dirk. Great to be here.
Very exciting. We have an intra-squad game coming up on Saturday, and things are really revving up, and now the full week of practices can begin as of today, correct?
That's right.
So talk a little bit about where the team's at. Joe, we talked to you just a couple of weeks ago, but again, you were limited to your practice time with the guys. So what do you start working on the special teams a little bit more this time of year?
Yeah, we will. We'll get at it pretty hard. We did a little bit last week in our time on the ice, but we'll get there's so many details that we have to work on and try to get as complete as we can. You know, just to be at the best we can possibly be to start with. The one thing that we're going to be a little bit behind on is that that first weekend where we're going to play the inner squad, Duluth was able to schedule a home and home with Minnesota late, and so they're going to have that testing and that hardening in, which I think will be an advantage. Last year we played Wisconsin early before we went to the icebreaker, and that helped us a great deal because we played a good hockey game. We got better as we went. We adjusted and it gave our guys a good feel as to where we had to be. This year we're not going to have that opportunity, so we'll get into it as much as we can and get as prepared as we can before that Friday night game we have to play Duluth. Number one team in the country coming in. It's a great opportunity for us.
It is, and you have all these new guys coming in, Coach, and I know you had limited time with them so far on the ice. Are you worried about having enough time to really get a good evaluation on who should be in that first weekend against Minnesota Duluth?
We have good depth right now up front. I like where we're at, what we have up front. Defense is like we've talked about before. Guys are going to have to step up and simplify what we're doing a little bit and really focus on increasing their learning curve back there. But I think we're going to be pretty good in goal, and I think we're going to be pretty strong at forward. And I think over time our defense will be very, very good, whether it be early or as we get going in the year. But it's our job to try to simplify things for them and give them a chance to be successful.
We've talked so much about the defense and losing some key guys as far as power play and special teams. Will guys like Seamus Donahue, Mitch Meek, have their roles expanded this year?
Well, they'll earn what they get. You know, if they earn that opportunity, they'll get that. If they don't, what we did is we recruited some guys with some pretty decent skill sets back there. The first thing that all our veterans have to do is do what they do best. You know, they have a body of work. We kind of know what we expect out of them. And as we see growth in understanding and growth in able to execute, their roles will expand. There are some guys that are showing great growth. There's other guys that are relatively the same as they were last year, which is still a good hockey player. So we'll evaluate. We constantly evaluate. We'll film practices as we always do and take peeks at things and see who's getting it and who's making quick reads and who's making plays under pressure, who is not making plays under pressure and who's not handling pressure very well. So that's really what it comes down to when you get in the competition of it. You do everything to bridge yourselves to make the best decisions possible at game time, And that's the growth. That's what we try to pride ourselves on, is developing players that can think for themselves and make great plays, you know, within the constraints of the game.
Not having that hard competition, like you mentioned, Minnesota Duluth will with a home and home against Minnesota before they come here. Does that make the practices and the intensity of the practices even more important to
absolutely
prepare?
Absolutely. And then we'll add scrimmage time also to a lot of our practices. We'll do a lot more situational work within a lot of our practices as well to make sure that we get what we want. The practices are going to have to be, as we get going here more, we'll have to jump and add confusion, add some controlled chaos in there as much as we can, to again try to get guys to think. A lot of what we do is quick reads and trying to get guys out of their comfort level, especially the young guys who, you know, everything ramps up. You know, you can be really good at one level, and for whatever reason, when you get to the next level, it takes time to figure in. Everything's a little bit faster. Everybody's a little bit bigger and stronger. So we try to add as much chaos, as much game situation as we can, and make the guys think and try to confuse them, you know, in some way, so that we can get them to have to think under pressure and you know, take the big guys out of it and get them comfortable. You really do extend practice to the games. That's you know, you hear it all the time, cliche, but we really do want to extend practice to our games, and the guys that show best in practice are normally the guys that perform best in games.
You know, it's an interesting schedule to start off the season, where you got this big build-up to this giant first weekend at home against the defending national champs, and you got that week off. Will that lend ourselves to maybe go a little bit more all? I mean, everybody, not that we don't go all out, but you know what I mean? As far as the coaching staff and the team laying everything out on the ice, knowing that you have that buffer week before our next game.
Oh, we're for sure. It's a big series. Mm-hmm. You know, playing the number one team in the country, those things, if you're gonna try to make hay with pairwise, you want to have success. It's on our ice. Again, it's the defending national champions. There's and going in, just to make it known, I want them I think we said this on last show, I want them to beat up Minnesota bad. I want them to come in with two wins, come in here maintaining the number one ranking in the country, and be off to the races as a program, and then we're looking to have success against them. It serves our purpose less if Minnesota does number on them. I'd say, hope Minnesota does well, and that these guys, you know, they're not as good. We want them to be as good as they possibly can. That's what we're about here. And I want them to do a number on the Gophers and come in here, and then us have to show that we can play with these types of teams and learn and grow and be ready for them. And all of us do our job, from the coaches on out, to have the best week we possibly can.
Huskies ranked 18th in the first USCHO.com poll. Minnesota, as you mentioned, playing Minnesota Duluth, ranked 13th. And then the Duluth Bulldogs first. You think, I know it doesn't mean anything, but is that a tip of the hat to the Huskies, you think, and deserving of the 18th spot?
Well, it's respect for the program,
right,
is what it is. It means absolutely nothing. No, if you talk to anybody, they're not saying what we have returned or what we have lost on defense, except for the other teams that know us or the teams within our league. They're not saying what our goaltending situation is. They're just going based on the respect and what we've done over time. We were picked fourth in the league, so we're picked above, I believe, every team except for Minnesota in the national rankings. Mm-hmm. But the league teams that know us best have picked us fourth. So very similar to where we were last year, and probably deservingly so. We're in that. That's about where we were last year. But what we were able to do is what we want to do. We were able to grow and get better and better and better as the year went on. You know, as accountability factors went in place, and we continued to get better. And in honesty, I think we were as good as anybody at the end of the year. We were, I've said it before, it would not have been a surprise for us to win the national tournament. We went in, and maybe people watching, but it didn't take very long to watch that Notre Dame game to realize, hey, this is a good hockey team. And on any, you know, Notre Dame went and lost a tight game to Duluth in the championship game for the national title. And you know, we were right there with everybody at the end of the year. No one was pulling away, and, you know, Mankato was maybe fifth ranked going in, and we were able to go in and have a good series against them and get past them in the playoffs and go on to Northern Michigan, who was, you know, was ranked. And so our ability here, our strength, hopefully, is in our ability to grow, and that's what we plan to do. And the better start we can have, the better off we'll be. But, again, our goal is to grow and get better and to continue to get better.
Wanted to ask you a little bit about Brian Hallinan. We have Brian Hallinan from Delano, Minnesota, with local ties, obviously. We had Tyler Hannanin from Delano, Minnesota, with local ties, obviously. But you have talked a lot about Hallinan, and how has he looked so far, and what are you expecting from him in the
first? That's a little question out of nowhere. Brian looks good. He looks good. He's a big, strong kid that is all business when he's on the ice. He big time reminds you of Blake Piedla, a right-handed Blake Piedla. He's big, strong, committed, dedicated. He has a lot to learn, as we all do. But he's certainly not going to be intimidated on the ice. He has a great release on his shot. He's going to be a valued asset. He's going to put up some points, I think, especially on the power play. He's got nice little creativity he's showing in certain areas. You know, we kind of made a deal with him last year. If he reached some plateaus, we'd consider bringing him in this year. And he had a really good year, especially a really good second half in the USHL for Des Moines, and wanted to come in this year. And we brought him in. We don't want to be rushing anybody. We want him to be ready when they come in. And he looks like he's ready. It's gonna be a learning curve. He's young, but I like him. He's big and he's strong. Physically, he's ready to contribute. Mentally, we'll see where he's at in his overall game.
What about the intra-squad game this weekend, Coach? What are you looking to get out of that? I know it's always a bit of a nail-biter situation for the coach when you have guys, your team, playing against their own team and hoping nobody gets injured, but you do need to have more of that game experience going into that Duluth weekend.
Yeah, one thing is we have numbers, so we're going to basically have three lines on each team, and we'll have 4D on one team and 5 on the other. I think our numbers will make it so it's entertaining. We'll probably play 2 halves is probably what we'll do in the game, and make sure we get some power play time, some special teams time in there. But I'm, you know, injuries are going to, that's part of the game. Things like that are going to happen. What I look for is, again, understanding of what we're doing. You know, we'll throw in a lot of scrimmage time this week going into that and next week going into our game. But we're really looking for, and the best chance for me to see it, you get 2 looks at it. You get a look at it live during practice. You'll get a look at it on video. And really seeing, both from new players and older players, their understanding of what we're trying to do. Their understanding of the systems and the tactics, which are different. You know, I say it all the time, systems get you in position. They're positioning your tanks to give you the best chance to do battle, but your tactics are what you do when you're actually there, that your ability to win the fight. And often that's man to man, that's one on one type stuff that you have to, you know, you can be in the best position possible, but if you can't do the job when you're there, you know, someone else might be able to do a better job, and you have to learn him to systematically be better. So we'll look for those types of things, the players who can come out of first get themselves into good competitive situations and then come out on top of those competitive situations and do it within a team framework and have synergy within what they're doing. So that's really what we'll look for is understanding and execution and what guys give us the best ability to do that.
We've got a lot more with head coach Joe Sean. We'll talk a little bit more about personnel on the team when we get back. Also the captains that were picked after our last time having Joe in our studio. So we'll chat about those things when we come back. You can also get your questions in DJ@themix93.com. The Joe Sean Hour continuing right after this.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Got the fender bender blues. People stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new. It's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech.
Taco Man, You know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish tacos starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Hello, it is I, thine king. Today, I speaketh on behalf of Bud Light and the most sacred of traditions, the tailgate. In my days as a collegiate liege, I hosted the very first tailgate in yon woods. We didn't have coolers or sports. We were basically just in the woods. But we had Bud Light, so a tailgate it was. Anyway, I invite you to continue my legacy and enjoy Bud Light courtesy of me at your tailgate. Also courtesy of me. Dilly dilly.
Enjoy responsibly, Bud Light, beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're right in the middle of the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Email address dj@themix93.com. That's dj@themix93.com for your questions. Captain's coach, we've got Jake Lucchini, senior forward, and coming back as a senior forward in Dylan Stamen as our two captains this year. I think great picks. What was the selection process like for that?
Well, it varies. It's different all the time. But what we did this year is basically what we did last year. We, as a staff, we have a pretty good idea. Last year, I had a pretty good idea because the other coaches didn't know. They were new and didn't really know the history of a lot of our guys. But the coaches have their feeling on it for sure, and that plays a great part in who we feel we can work best, that most exemplifies what we're trying to do, because our culture, we've said it many times, our culture is our biggest asset. That's something that, again, Mel did a great job of instilling it when I got here. I don't know what it was like before that, but we had a great culture when I arrived here. Had not won yet. The team had not finished above 500 yet in many, many years. But you could see that a great culture and a desire was in place. And so we certainly want to make sure that that's maintained. Then on top of that, the upperclassmen for sure were given a say-so in the selection process and allowed to have input on who they felt best exemplified what we were after. And it was the three that came out on top were far and away distanced above everybody else. They were, I believe, the leaders on the team, just as Brent Baltus was last year and did such an incredible job for us as a example and in his calm demeanor and things and how he played and had a career year for us. So these guys separated themselves in a big way from the group as far as being the voice and the leadership and having the respect of the players and as the staff. So it was actually a very easy pick for us to go through and name them captains. They've done a great job so far. They came in good shape. And the biggest thing is when the times go tough, which they're going to, which you welcome. You welcome adversity. You welcome turmoil. We've had a little bit already. And we'll talk about, I'm sure, shortly. And you want their input and their support, because when you leave the room, they are that middle extension, that middle management extension that have to go and help sell it and help keep everything in line. And these guys will do a great job with that.
Well, let's deal with the elephant in the room. What's the goaltending situation like right now, Coach?
You know, I know where this question's going. We have three goaltenders we feel comfortable with. You hope you handle these types of things publicly the right way, but we had situations very late in the summer that opened the door for a fourth goaltender coming in. We decided, in talking again with the leadership on the team and things like that, that there was an option to bring Packy Munson back. He had a chance to. He wanted to do other things. That's part of the reason we went out and did what we did and recruited another goaltender during the year. Those things didn't work out. Every indication was he was going to come back to campus one way or another. So with some opportunities that happened and some dilemmas that we were faced with late in the summer, we said, okay, let's see how much he's grown and let's bring him back and try him and as we work through some situations that we had and see how this is going to work out. We gave it every opportunity to work itself out under stringent guidelines of conformity. I guess is the best way to put it. And it became evident very quickly that it wasn't going to work out, which is unfortunate because the team had obligated itself and I'd obligated myself to try to make this work. And it became evident that it wasn't going to work. We're still working through the other situations. As we know, we had injuries to both of our returning goaltenders last year. And we have a goaltender transferring in. So that creates unique issues that we wanted to make sure that we had proper depth at that position, just like every other position where we increased our numbers. We're more than comfortable with the goaltending that we have. I think that Robbie Badoun's made great strides over the summer. He trained hard. He looks good in practice, as does Devin Carroll, as does Matt Jurusik. So we're comfortable in where we're going ahead. I'm comfortable in working with these guys, and the team is comfortable in having these guys be their goaltender. And so we the decision became evident with some circumstances that that's what we were going to go do, is go with three goaltenders, which is the way I guess it should be and the way it probably should have been right from the start.
Coach, just you mentioned injuries. Devin Carroll, is he near 100%? Because he was one of the goaltenders that went down during the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and I think he missed some training this summer due to the injury. And probably midway through the summer was able to get his way back on the ice and get active. So all goaltenders right now seem healthy and are competing hard for and have good positive a good positive relationship. Something that I'm able to do this year, which I wasn't able to do as much last year, which I've done in the past, is get on the ice with all three goaltenders and work with them all. And we're gonna, you know, we've done that in some short sessions, and now I'm looking forward to, as they are, to having get back to those healthy sessions on the ice with an entire group of goaltenders that we can work daily on getting better at that position. I think some of the circumstances last year delayed our goaltending development because of that, because of you know, there was a little bit of turmoil between the goaltenders and in the camaraderie of that group, and I think we've worked our way through that.
Coach, can we talk about the center position? Because it's such a key, especially in this day and age of hockey at this level. You have to have good centermen. We have had really good centermen. You have guys like Dylan Stamen, Alex Smith. Who are we looking at right now? I know it's still early, but who are you looking at as maybe a top three or top four defense or center out there?
Well, we also have Jake Muccini, right, who's played a lot of center, and Grayson Reitmeier, who is a natural centerman, that are there as well. We have Zach Noble came in. He's a centerman. Andrew Ballant can play center, and Brian Hallinan can play center. So we have some experience there, and we have some inexperience there, but I think in the inexperience, we do have hockey players at that position that can fill in. You never know really what you're going to have. But assuming that we play either Grayson or Jake at center, whichever one shows the best ability to keep up with the play. I know that Jake prefers now to play wing. He does more coming off the wing, and Joel Lesperance last year, when they played together, kind of forced him to play the wing anyways, because Joel wanted to naturally gravitate. Joel Lesperance gradually wanted to gravitate towards the middle, which pushed Jake to the outside. So we just actually made that change during the year, and it worked out well for us. But we'll have three veteran centermen up front, and then a freshman will probably fill in, unless we move a natural winger to that position to give us more of a defensive posture and things. But we'll be looking at a few of them, primarily Grayson and Jake, right now, along with, like I said, Hallinan and Zach Noble and Andrew Ballant, to see which ones can give us the four that we're looking for. We're confident in three of them giving us a good depth and good experience down the middle. So we're happy with that at this point but not completely sure on which way we're going to go. Just like at the defense position, I'm looking hard at guys on the ice right now to see if things don't work out with some of our D, if we can't get the competitiveness and the gapping and the aggressiveness that we want on our defensive core, because we want puck movers back there, and we're okay not going with big guys back there, but we also want to have a competitiveness factor and a willingness to get in your face and compete back there, especially if you're not going to be big. And it's not off the table that we'll move a forward if we feel a forward can play better at that position, or even play, throw together a line that has four forwards on it and one defenseman, and go with that because of the symmetry we play with within our game anyways, and go with more of a, you know, like a Swedish torpedo look possibly to give us what we're looking for, an aggressiveness. You know, we don't, it's not just a smokescreen for us. We naturally want to have the puck. We want to be up inside guys. We want to have tight gapping. And if we have a tendency within our defensive group, to back off and give time and space and allow lines, you know, we're also looking at some of our depth at forward, moving back in there and playing a little bit at that position and just being aggressive and on your toes at that position instead of sitting back. So we're looking at a lot of things. I've done that in the past. It's worked out very well in the past. In fact, in juniors, one of the best starts I ever got off to as a coach with the team that we had. I think we went undefeated through about 16 games doing exactly that, playing with four forwards and one D on various lines, and it proved to be a great effort, and it fits well within the system that we use right now, so I'm not opposed to that.
Because the center position has so many layers to it. Where do you place your weight as far as importance on winning a draw, being able to be good defensively down low in our zone, scoring goals? I mean, all those things are part of that center position. Where the wings, not that their job is any easier, but you know, they're handling the defensemen for the most part high in the slot defensively, and then trying to score goals.
Yeah, but really within our system, what we want to have is whoever's the first man back is your low guy, gotcha. Your first guy on defensive coverage, and you fill in around that. Whoever's playing center has to fill in around that. Well, right now, face-offs are a big deal, but the ability to stay up with the play is a big deal as well, and the ability to help us naturally, like on off D-zone face-offs and things like that, get back and help us in, once you get back to your set position of centerman low, who helps us win those battles and makes the best plays out of pressure situations, which we're trying to create defensively. Who gets us out of the zone? Helps get us out of the zone, and then who can keep up with the play at the other end. Right now, that's a bit what Grayson's going to have to show, is that he can keep up with the play and not be lagging behind the play, because you already have Smitty, who's not who has a little bit of that behind the play type to him, or has a little bit of, well, now where Smitty's really good, he's a playmaker. And he fills in late. You know, let's look at the goal that he was involved in against Duluth last year in the icebreaker. It was a great play, but he was late. He was the late guy coming back. There was another guy that filled in low for him, but he fed a great pass over to Misiak on basically a 2-on-2 sauce pass. But you have to be able to interchange, and you have to really have a good IQ, which Smitty has. Smitty has a great IQ about the game and reads off of others well. Maybe not the best defender for us down low, but is really good in transition and understands the transition aspect of the game. So you look for a guy in there that has to have a high IQ, a high intelligence, and can keep up with the play at both ends and keeps his feet moving and understands it well enough to be able to transition both offensively and defensively. There's really 9 parts of the game. There's your offensive play out of each zone, which is your offensive zone play, your offensive zone transition, which is either quick counters or regroups, longer regroups, and your breakout, which is offense. And you know, same thing with your neutral zone play, same thing with your defensive zone play. But within all that, there's transition as well, and one leads to the other as far as your systems and your interchanging. And you have to be really good at that transitional part of the game. You can't overlook that transitional part of the game. And when you ask what I look for, and now I guess I'm getting deep with it, but what are you looking for in your team early? The guys who can transition. Mm-hmm. Because you can put guys in set positions and teach them how to do their job, but they're not always in those positions. So you're looking for their ability to transition. The most important position in that of the non-goaltending positions is the centerman and his ability to transition. And so that's what we're really looking for, is when I say keep up with the play and things, that's transition from defense to offense or offense to defense. And so we're looking for the best brains and the best anticipatory values that allow you to do that.
Hey, you know, you touched on the defense and not only being good at moving the puck and skating the puck up ice, but attention to detail inside of our own zone. I remember you being upset many times throughout the season last year where we had a guy in position defensively in front of our net, but that defenseman, for whatever reason, didn't think the puck was going to come there and didn't actually take his man out. That guy ends up scoring. Is that something that has to be learned by guys who aren't doing it properly, or is it something you just kind of have to keep beating into them?
Well, whatever a player doesn't naturally have when he's brought in here, there's a reason that he's here. We as coaches saw something in him to bring that athlete in here. Whatever they don't know when they get here, it's our responsibility to keep driving home until they either get it or they don't get it and play themselves up in the lineup or play themselves out of the lineup. The better coaching and the higher intellect on the players that we have, and that's why Michigan Tech's such a great school. Academics will help us sort out the guys that can't think, and you really hope they do. You hope academics help us sort out the guys that can't, that just are not intelligent individuals. And so we have that going for us. And other than that, you hope that players are coming in here, coming from a good league with good coaching. I say that often when, you know, you get so often asked, where should my son play? Where should he play in this league, that league? Where he should play is for the best coach. Wherever he has the opportunity to have the best coaching, or she, in whatever sport you're in, where they have the opportunity. I often liken it to picking out a dog. You want it to pick out a dog. If you're going after a hunting dog, you want to see the parents work, and you want to see the people that train them so that you can see the parents work. So you know that breeding is in the dog. You know what I mean? Other than that, you're rolling the dice. You don't pick out a Labrador if you want to go, you know, hunt ducks, you know. Well, you do pick a Labrador if you want to, but you don't pick out, you know, lab's a bad choice because they do so many things.
How about a poodle?
I've seen poodles that hunt really well. Okay. But you get what I'm saying. Yeah. You don't want to pick up, let's say, a Pekingese to go out and be a big wide-ranging pointer for you.
Yeah.
You're working against yourself. So, we hope that we've picked out guys from good teaching, and whatever they don't learn, we're going to try to teach them, and try to make them buy into, and that's half the battle as well, making them believe in you. And that's probably, you know, last year they began to believe in us as coaches, and it worked. You know, then you come to the point where the guys that get it most are teaching. You know, last year we went to a line relatively early, and I believe it was Brent Baltus along with Dylan Stamen, and Justin Misiak earned his way on that line, and they were our teaching line. And Grayson Reitmeier was on that line a bit with Misiak and with Stamen, but they were our teaching line to teach a lot of the other guys. They're having success and creating scoring chance after scoring chance. If you remember, Dylan Stamen didn't score a lot early, but man, did he create chances. Did that line create chances and did everything the right way. And then gradually other guys started picking up on that and learning off of that and learning off their example in video and things like that. Guys, you'll have success if you do it this way. So that's what it is. Whatever they don't know or whatever we feel that they need work on, we'll teach them, and we hope they come in as complete as we can. And that's where the bigger programs tend to have it a little bit over other schools, in that they're getting players, the more complete hockey player, to come in. And we want to be in that where players want to come play for us, the ones that need less teaching, and they're immediately impactful as freshmen, so because we have that reputation. That's what we want to have, and that's why when you get into rankings and things, it's great to be there in early season rankings because your name is getting popped around with those top programs.
Absolutely. Much more of the Joe Schaan Hour coming your way. You still have time to get a question in, DJ@themix93.com. That is if you're listening live here on Monday morning. And we'll be back right after this.
The deals are falling off the shelves at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All Coke and Pepsi 2 liters are 2 for $3. All 6 packs of bottled beers are on sale. All 7-Up 20-ounce product, only 99 cents. Check out the great deals on all your energy drinks, wines, and much more. See the expanded line of Keweenaw Alpaca gear to keep you warm throughout the fall and winter. And don't forget to get your hunting licenses and bait at Bucko's. All sales do not include tax and deposit.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
Mealtime can lead to a lot of debates.
Sure, we may disagree on what makes the perfect meal, but the one thing we can agree on is that it will always taste better with an ice-cold, refreshing Coke. So before your next meal, be sure to head to your local grocery store for everything you need to make mealtime right. Serve with a Coca-Cola.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turbo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turbo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Joe Schonauer continues here on Mix 93 WKMJ. That's what I love about you, Coach, is you're such, you know, obviously hockey is your job, it's your life, it's your passion. But you're a huge fan of everybody and everybody at Michigan Tech. And, you know, we were just chatting a little bit off air how incredible Matt Jennings is doing with that Michigan Tech volleyball team. Two come-from-behind victories on the road this past weekend.
Yeah, your question to me was, is there anything else big that you want to talk about? I said, yeah, let's talk. We can talk about the injuries that the football team's sustaining. That's, you know, how much they're getting tested with that, and the great job that the volleyball team that team's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I remember how far they've come my time here. Like, I remember going and watching Matt. He had so much energy through the first set, like that first year, and through the second set, and then the third set, you could just tell, like, he was just exhausted. Like, oh, are we ever going to turn the corner? And boy, have they ever turned the corner with that program. They're doing a great job. Number one, I believe, in the conference, and at least in their part of the conference, and doing an incredible job. Two, come from behind, down two sets to none, and came back and won on the road. Is just, you know, my hats go off to them and all they've done, all the hard work that they, you know, I see them there every morning. Coach Luker and I and Augie, we see them there, and Ray. Every morning we see them going in and out of the gym, getting their workouts in, and the time they put in, they're just doing a fantastic job.
Let's get to a couple of our questions that you have emailed in. If you have a question, you can still get it in, dj@themix93.com, if you are listening here on Monday morning. First question for you, Coach. Looking at the NCAA hockey commit sites, it appears that the most recent recruit committed to Michigan Tech was on April 2nd. That's a while ago. How is recruiting going?
Recruiting's going great. We're in on a lot of kids, and you know, here's the thing that I want. I guess the biggest thing to put out there, we're going to do things here, and if it's thought that it's not the right way, then a change will be made. But while I'm here, we're going to do things in what I feel is the right way, how I would want my family treated. I'm the one that had to cut, you know, what, 5-6 guys that were committed here, that were overcommitted, that we didn't have the money for. And that works at a lot of schools, I think, where you're at, and I'm not going to toss names out, but you're at big schools, and they have 35 guys, 38 guys committed, 41 guys committed, and those athletes know at those schools that they have to continue to get better. They can't back off. They have to continue to get better. Their job is not secure. They know that the numbers aren't in their favor, that 2/3 of those guys are never going to end up on those campuses. So they have to at least keep themselves on track to, if they aren't ones that get on campus, that they're still going to get a scholarship somewhere else. We don't necessarily have that luxury here of backing up those types of athletes. So when we're backing up guys and overcommitting them, the chances are that if we'd say, sorry, this isn't going to work for you, the chances are that it's not going to work for them anyplace else in Division I hockey if we've made mistakes. So we have to be sure and in my estimation, be honorable and show integrity that the players that we commit we're not decommitting them. They're going to come on campus. And if an athlete decides, I'm going to go someplace else that we have committed and doesn't want to show the integrity, we have to make sure that the players that we have backing that up aren't necessarily role players that we don't expect to be impacting our team. Because pretty soon you get stuck with a whole bunch of those role players because the top-end guys are stolen by another program or something. So we're going to commit guys that are going to be good. Saying that, our commitment, the guys that we're working on, I think are tremendous hockey players. The guys that we have committed are excellent hockey players. And those players are going to be in here. And our numbers are good right now. We have to commit. We have to work on a couple of different areas and shore up a couple different areas. But when you look at our list, is made up of excellent hockey players, and we're not overcommitted and we're not undercommitted. Actually, if we were to commit a bunch of guys right now, if you looked at our list, we wouldn't have room for them. Like, if we went out and committed three forwards right now, we don't have room or money for those three forwards. So someone is getting left in the cold. We're still working through the overcommitted part from 2 years ago. We're taking care of those. We're close to being done with cleaning up that process, and then having all of our guys all of our commits being on our list. So we could go out and jump on a lot of guys, but I just don't show shows integrity. And I still think, and you're hearing it, and you're hearing it even more and more, and it's actually coming out of the NCHC, that they're going to change the committed they're going to change how early we can talk to kids, and they're going to change, they've already done some of it, how early we can commit kids. And just because they're going to protect us from ourselves. Because look at the guys we have. We have Trenton Blisson here this year. He was committed to Wisconsin. We have Alec Broachman. He was committed to Wisconsin. We have Matt Drusick. He played at Wisconsin. We have Keegan Ford. He played at Wisconsin. You know what I mean? Like, and that isn't changing at Wisconsin. Just so you know, that same thing continues to happen, and you keep having these things over and over again. And I think if we looked at our list of guys we have here, we have several that were committed to other schools, and they come available. You know what I'm saying? So, I think it's easier to sit back and be patient on it and get guys that you want. I think it's the right thing to do versus overcommit. So I get where people get anxious and excited and come on, do your job. Trust me, we're doing our job. We're doing it what I feel is the right way. And the proof is going to be when you watch Trenton Bliss play this year, the way that he plays, and we had room to be able to add him. When you see Big Alex Broachman and you see when you see these guys play, they're hockey players, and they're going to be excellent hockey players for Michigan Tech, and they're all in here, and we're all in committed to them, and they aren't just happen to be the guys that worked out for us. They're the guys that we wanted, and we told them we're committing to you, and you're committing to us, and we want this to work.
Next question for you, Coach. Are there any talks to have UMD and Michigan Tech continue to play in the future?
There is. Yeah, there is. We're trying to do that, and we're also, I think we've talked before, if it's not done, we're very close to Notre Dame coming in here in a couple years down the road, as well as University of Michigan coming in here down the road. We're very close to nailing those things down, and we're going to visit those places as well. So we want to have the best teams on our schedule. Mel has shown indication he wants to come back here and see his old friends from here, and so those are great things for us, and we want to have Wisconsin on our schedule like we do this year. We want to have Duluth on our schedule. Proximity-wise and pair-wise, we help them, they help us. We want to have the best teams in here that are possible and get a variety of teams in here.
Here's a great question, Coach. With the makeup of the Tech roster this year, with the ability to dress another skater, remember everybody, now the NCAA is allowing 19 skaters,
19 skaters
instead of 18 skaters.
And two goaltenders and three goaltenders at home.
Right. To dress, will the Huskies most likely dress an extra defenseman or an extra forward?
I think it goes into what I said before. I'm looking for some players that can do both, that can add that to our roster so that if a D goes down, we have a guy that can play D and keep us at our six and also can help us at the forward position, help us on the special teams, help us on the penalty kill. We're looking at guys that can do both, that can play both positions for us. We had that, if you recall in the past, that we did that inadvertently, not inadvertently, but based within how the rules were before. Leibinger, forward and D. Last year we put Mark Ock, forward and D. They played both. So, that's kind of in my history of how I've operated at the junior level, how I've operated when I put in input at the collegiate level, what we'll look for in the future is guys that have a dual purpose for us and can fill in on either.
Do you see that become more of a trend maybe in college? Because you don't see a lot of it. Maybe with you you did, but you don't see a whole lot of guys. You know, maybe one guy every 2 years in a program, you see him go from defenseman to forward to defenseman. You don't see a lot of it, but will the game lend itself to more of a need of that, do you think?
Well, I think it would if it went the other way. If it went to where they were shortening the roster, like the East Coast League does that. You dress three lines of forwards, 6D, and one extra player. And normally it's an older type of a forward that really helps you on the power play. That's your 10th forward. But they do it for salary purposes and things like that. I got to be honest with you. I don't know why this rule went into place. The development program does that. The National Development Program dresses 21 and 22 guys, and when you play them, you're allowed to do that. And when they play in junior hockey, they're allowed to do that. But that's because of what they're trying to accomplish, which is development. You know, the National Development Program, they want to get all these guys in games. I'm not sure why the rule is in. We'll play with whatever rules they put in front of us, wherever they want to play. However we do things, we'll do it. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. It will give us an ability to develop another player. And really, that's, I think, what we're all about here is developing people. And part of developing as people is to allow guys opportunity to play. So it gives us that opportunity to dress another player and to see what they can do. So we're going to use it in that regard.
Well, especially early in the season, too, we have a bigger roster this year. Yeah. This will at least give you one of these guys a chance to dress.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, gives another guy who's not sitting up in the press box.
Right, right. But if we put him on the bench, we're going to try to put him in the game.
Sure, sure.
We're going to use it for development purposes. And the other side of it, though, let's look at is his name Lockwood for Michigan. He's a tremendous hockey player.
Right.
He got hurt at the World Juniors last year and chose to have his surgery. Let's say that they had an extra player where he could be used strictly on the power play. Does he have his surgery? You know what I mean? At Michigan, he's their top player, their captain, I believe, this year. Does he have that surgery or doesn't he? If he can still just play the power play where there's low chance of him getting hit and things like that. Or does he, you know what I mean? You know, you don't know why they do it, but you can certainly, you know, we had players, Mark Ock last year, Mitch Rehnke hurt at, you know, for a period of time, for 3 weeks or a month last year, several players that you could use strictly on the power play if need be while they're acclimating back to the game. So there's a lot of different ways that this position can work for you. So we'll work it. It'll change every week why we use it.
All right, Coach, let's see if you can figure out who this question is from. You talked about picking out a dog. We understand you have inherited your daughter's lab puppy. How do you adapt when you actually don't get a chance to pick the puppy but inherit it instead?
Well, right now it's been a heck of an adaption. I don't know if that's from my wife or not, but our situation is my daughter, in her infinite wisdom, brought three dogs to visit us this summer. Two of them were puppies, very, very crazy puppies, psycho puppies. But out of love for our family and out of culture for our family, we said, okay, we'll take it. We'll take this puppy off your hands and we'll do the best we can and give it love and nurturing. And we're trying to do that. And it's certainly adding stress to Laura and I, because the puppies already drug a couch across the living room and absolutely chewed it apart. We brought the rest of it to the church last night and donated it. But this puppy, like within days after being spayed, we're supposed to keep this thing on low exercise and stuff. It has a hood on its head. Actually disconnected a sectional sofa, drug it across the room, ate the complete top of it, had it flipped over on its side at about 50 pounds. Like, you look at, how did that dog do that? So now if we had the choice of a puppy, we probably would have picked a different puppy. But we're going to love this one and deal with the cards like we do as a coach and deal with what we're led. And she's actually turning into be a wonderful, loving puppy that has a great heart and loves people.
Well answered. Hey, we have more of the Joe Sean Hour coming up in just a moment. You still have a last minute chance to get a question in. DJ@themix93.com. Back after this.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases, games are won, and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now, you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see two stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading? Or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your one-stop shops for all things authentically Michigan Tech. Our stores offer fresh and sporty Michigan Tech apparel, souvenirs, and unique gift options. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Email campusstore@mtu.edu to join Husky Deals and be the first to know about our sales, promotions, and new offerings. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. Warning, shopping the University Images in the Campus Store may cause smiles, happiness, elation, customer satisfaction, and or accolades from friends and family.
The Khalifa Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with home-style service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Khalifa Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour. Dirk Hemberoff along with head coach Joe Schaan for the Michigan Tech hockey team. Intra-squad game coming up this Saturday, 6 o'clock at the John McInnes Student Ice Arena. And it's going to be a nice short evening, so it's not going to take up your whole evening. Come on out and get a sneak peek at the Michigan Tech hockey team. Have the kids bring their skates, because I think you guys are doing a skate with the Huskies after.
I'm sure we will be. We always do early, yeah.
Yeah. So, and the admission is a donation of your choice. Of cash, of your choice, the amount, and they will be taking that money and giving it to local youth hockey, if I'm not correct on that. Am I right?
Oh. All right.
You're not in charge of that part.
No,
of that.
I'm not in charge of that part.
I believe that's what Gary Cruz told us. So I'm looking forward to the intra-squad game, just to kind of see how, you know, get a more better feel on the skating.
Yeah, you're
going to
like some. You're going to like some of the freshmen. You're going to like some of them. There's some good skill back there. We got you're going to really like Colin Sawyer on defense. Mm-hmm. Eric Goetz has good talent on defense. Buckley's showing great improvement on defense. Cooper Watson looks good. Donahue and Meek, they're all battling hard. So I think we got a good crew to work with.
Well, that was one of my next question I wanted to bring up. Cooper Watson, obviously getting a ton of playing time in the second half of the season. Didn't see the ice a whole lot in the first half. Showed a lot of bright spots throughout the games that he was in. Obviously, he's, as you mentioned, within a lot of competition for defense. How does he look right now?
He looks good. He looks good. Cooper's biggest deal is we're trying to get him to show some creativity with the puck. And with that, by creativity, is a lot of it is not always making the easy play on breakouts and things like that, making the play, there's multiple options often, and making a play that gives us the best chance. Mark Ock, Mitch Rehnke had those abilities. Those were special players that could make a play, and you'd look and you'd say, what a great play that started that line rush, even off a breakout, you know what I mean? Just the ability to look off a guy, to give a shoulder drop or whatever. That's part of evolution. That's part of if Cooper wants to be play in the National Hockey League, he's got the size, he's skate, got good aggressiveness. He's a wonderful kid. He's the same as Cliff. He's just a wonderful young man that puts the team first and is everything you want in a player. And you know, we want him to have a chance of reaching his goals and sign a professional contract. He made a little name for himself, got invited to the Dallas Stars camp this summer, did a good job there. So we want him to continue to learn and to continue to make great plays and learn to make great plays with the puck. His defending is possibly the best that we have on our team. His willingness to get out of his comfort zone and his willingness to put himself in positions to get beat on drills and practice so that he can work on his feet and challenge himself is probably the best on our defensive core. And I actually love that about him, because he's a guy that could wear a letter for us down the road. I love his mannerism. I love everything about him.
One other defenseman, wanted to ask you about, too, and this is another guy that didn't see a whole lot of ice time, but then all of a sudden did with all the injuries that we had. Tyler Rockwell, how's he look?
Tyler looks good. Now, he has, you put those two guys together, and then you've got an All-American caliber defenseman, because Tyler's creativity, his natural creativity, he's a California kid. His creativity in his mind is great. His vision is good. His willingness to make a tough play and be able to make a tough play is good. He needs the other side of it, and to continue to work on the other side of it that Cooper has, which is that closing and that contact and winning those battles and getting the puck on the stick so he can make the plays. So where Cooper has that in him to get the puck on the stick, and we're looking for him to make more plays, we're looking for Tyler to get to be more aggressive defensively, and to continue, and he's getting much better at it. He's doing a good job at it. Of getting more aggressive and getting the puck on a stick so he can make the plays that he has the ability to do. So, again, it's up to us to teach and to help guys learn. And I learn from them. You know what I mean? Like, I need these guys also. That's why I love the synergy and love handing the so many decisions over to the team, because, when you're a head coach, you have only limited opportunities to learn. You know, you're not, you know, it's different. You want to continue to learn, and you want to continue to grow and bring in fresh ideas. That's why so many coaches change assistant coaches all the time, because they bring in fresh ideas. And so you want to have that. And I like to do that through our players and get those fresh ideas from our players.
You mentioned assistant coaches and, Chris Brooks, Dallas Stewart, so much energy they bring to this team. I know you love that about them. And just in my short time that I've had been able to chat with them in the preseason so far, it seemed like that is all there. And once again, they are all in with this team.
Oh, yeah. They have great passion and great desire. They love the game. They're students of the game, and they bring so much. We all banged it out, like, recruiting, but they've been really hitting it hard recruiting. And Dallas will be back today. Chris will be back tomorrow so that we can get the whole staff back together and get working for the next couple of weeks here and get us ready to play.
You talked about trying to get your players to their ultimate goal, which is the NHL, and we did that obviously with Mitch Rankin. He played again last night. I think he was a minus one with the Blues, but hey, he's in the lineup right now, which is so exciting.
Yeah, and when I was out in 2 weeks ago out recruiting British Columbia, I watched Vancouver play LA, and Matty Roy was playing and looked great. He actually looked great in the game. He's certainly at that level. So another guy that signed early for us a couple of years ago, spent his summer here working out and things. So it's great to see those guys get at it and up where they're at and up in the levels that they're at. And again, great kids that are representing Michigan Tech and our community so well.
Coach, I want to go back to one more player. I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but you mentioned Gavin Gould a little bit here today, and he has become a fan favorite just in the style of play and his stature and the way he's able to create so much out of seemingly nothing. Do you expect more keen on him by other teams at all this year, now that he's really kind of separated himself offensively in some areas of our game, or no?
Yeah, I think Gavin's gonna create attention. Gavin's an elite talent. Like, he plays with good grit. Gavin's competitive. Like, pound for pound, he's tough. What I really admire right now about Gavin Gould is the leadership and the I think probably a good way to say it is the body language that he's coming across with right now. He's really, really developing into being a leader on our team as well by his actions, which is a great thing to say about Gavin Gould, because he is such an integral part of what we do. He's of everything that we do. And he takes a beating as it is, but he dishes it out too. You know, he dishes it out. He's not an easy guy to play against. He's always got a stick on you. He's always, kind of in your face and things too. So, but I've admired him, and I've admired Alex Smith. Those two guys, who we went through learning curves with these guys, because they're high spirited guys with high competitive levels. I really focused on last year, getting them to kind of emulate our way, and I can't ask for more than they've brought to us. Right from the conditioning, Alex Smith is in the best condition, best shape he's been in. Gavin Gould as well. everything they've done has been for the goodness of the team.
Well said, Coach. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. And that is the Joe Schonauer here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
I'm head coach Steve Olson, and this is Huskies football.
Fourth and 10, Ark is going to throw. Here comes pressure. Steps to the right, rolls right, has to throw, guns it to the end zone. Wendlick's open. Touchdown, Huskies!
It's week 6 and the battle at the ballpark between the Michigan Tech Huskies and Ferris State Bulldogs. Join us from 5th Third Ballpark in Comstock Park, Michigan. Coverage starts at 1:30 with kickoff at 2. Huskies and Bulldogs on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ.
This is Garrett Ross, defensive end. Listen to all of our games right here on Mix 93.